Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh.
All of the honor and all of the praise.
word of God today, if you're going through some situations in your life, we want you to know that God is here to answer and to be able to move on your behalf. The word of God say, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. And we must realize that we must lift Jesus up at all costs. We must magnify his name and give him all the glory and the honor. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true, and he is that living God. And I want to tell you today that God has not some power, but he has all power in his hand. And I want you to know that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and above all that we think. I want you to know as well, radio audience, if you are sitting next to your phone, why don't you just call a neighbor, call a friend, tell somebody that the breakthrough broadcast is on the air and they're getting ready to be blessed. And if they just take the opportunity to call in the breakthrough broadcast, they'll be able to hear the unadulterated, uncompromising word that is able to save their soul. And if you don't know that number, why don't you just dial 805-243-1363. I want to tell you that number again, 805-243-1363. That is our guest call line, and we welcome you to call, and we welcome you to just sit and to listen to the word of God that's getting ready to come forth on today. Today's topic will be faith tested. The study text is and will be taken from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, 1st through the 18th verse. And the central truth is we must be willing to make any sacrifice God requires. Our key verse today would be taken from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, at that 12th verse. It says, he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. And that is taken from the King James Version. And I would like to read the NIV version as well. It says, do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. We just thank God for what God is about to do on today, talking about faith tested. I'd like to take this opportunity to introduce to you our panelists. They are as following: Pastor Francina Shanks, Miss Helen Hooper, Dr. Joyce Mines, and Pastor Monica Bryant. I am your breakthrough host, yours truly, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy. And I want you to know today that we're going to be talking about faith. And we know and we've heard about the definition of faith. We heard that faith is now the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But what we're going to be talking about today is when that faith is tested. When you really have to have that faith. Yes, we can so all be able to define what the scripture says about tests, about faith, and testing our faith. But when we began to look at it in this way, how about when you were in elementary school or junior high school or in your senior high days. Even you may go back to when you were in college. And those days that you experienced were full of tests. They test you for the knowledge. They test you for all of the material and the instruction that you were given during that time. Let's look at it. Some of the tests that were given, you were prepared for, and others probably you may have not been surprised or prepared, and you were not ready to take these tests. Then how many of you that can recall the requirements for a good test grade? It took some requirements in order to take those tests that you had taken when you were in college or in school. You know what? Life is like that. It is frequently present all of us with tests, and they often come as a complete surprise to us sometimes. You may find yourself, question yourself, why must I go through a test? Why should I face these tests? When we look at Genesis 22nd chapter, Abraham faces a most severe test in his life. He went through trials. He went through a testing time. Even had given, when we look at him, we see that why we, as people of God, and even as those that are experienced as newborn believers in Christ Jesus, why do we go through tests? So we're getting ready to answer those questions for you today. We're getting ready to bless the Lord and to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast Pastor Francina Shanks. She's going to be talking about an unthinkable command, and that is taken from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, 1 through 5. Again, Pastor Shanks, we welcome you to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do. I just give God all the glory. As you heard, Dr. McCoy was already reading from Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and it says, I'm reading from there now. She already had read it and spoke about it. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. Verse 2, and he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I would tell thee of. Moriah in the original Hebrew text means proved by Jehovah. Verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Verse 4, then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Verse 5. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Well, you see, Abraham obeyed God. Hallelujah. Glory. You see, Abraham knew, even though the scriptures say God tempted Abraham, but see, the Bible says in the book of James, the first chapter and the 13th verse, it says, Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So in other words, the original Hebrew text is saying that God proved Abraham. He tried Abraham when he told him to take his only son, Isaac, and offer him up for a sacrifice. You see, God does not tempt any man, as the scripture says, but he was proving Abraham and trying Abraham to see if Abraham loved him or not and would obey him by offering up his only son. Abraham is a type of God offering up Jesus. Isaac is a type of Jesus, how God gave his only son. And so Abraham loved God and feared him, so he went to offer up his only begotten son. And the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, I like to call it the book of faith, the chapter of faith, Hebrews 11, 11:17 says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises of offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. See, God was trying Abraham, and so he told him to offer up his only son. And, you know, God would try us. He would try us and prove us and see that we're going to do what he says. Hallelujah. We're going to be tried, and God have tried me many times, and I know many of you, the people of God, have been tried. You have been tested, like the Holy Ghost was speaking through Dr. McCoy. It's just like he's taking a test in a school for your final exam. And if you don't pass it, then you will have to take that test over again. Some teachers don't even allow students to take a test over again. But God will try us and test us, and if we don't pass the test, then we have to go back and take it again, because God is going to try us, because the Bible says every man's work shall be tried or proven, whether is what it is, whether it's true or not, because God know our heart. He searched the hearts and the reins. And I'm so glad that God does that. He's not like man, hallelujah, that he should lie. The Bible say, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. If he said it, he's going to bring it to pass. And so God is going to try us like gold is tried in the furnace. When gold is put in that furnace, they keep on melting that gold down until it's pure gold. They get all of the dross off that gold, just like with silver. And God is going to do us like that as people of God. We're going to be tried, because God is coming back for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And so we're going to be tested and proved just like Abraham was. And I just give God all the honor and the glory. I would just want to encourage you out there today, brothers and sisters, when God is trying you, just stay on in there. And, you know, it depends on your attitude when you're being tried. I had to learn through trials and tests to have the right attitude when I'm tried. I know when it's Satan coming against me now, and I know when God is trying me now. Praise God. So we got to have the right attitude when we're tried, when we're tested. You see, I used to be a whining, crying Christian. I'm telling you that right now. And I used to say, why is this happening to me? I didn't understand that God had me in a process. Even though I had heard that prophetic word prophesied to me that I was going to preach and I was going to do this and go there, and it was men of God that told me that, because I had heard women weren't supposed to preach. But it was men of God that told me I was called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then I had to just go through the process, because God was working on my character, praise God. I had a messed up character. I was prejudiced against white people, praise God. I was mean to a certain point, you know. If you didn't want to be bothered with me, I wasn't bothered with you. But God took that prejudice out of my heart against white people, and he showed me his love. I also dealt with a spirit of rejection from my mother as a child. My mother said she did not want me and my sisters, but God delivered me from the spirit of rejection. And I just thank Jesus Christ for his love, his long-suffering toward me. And I just want to encourage you out there today, brothers and sisters, hang on in there. Let God try you and prove you and pass the test, and let him put his love in you so you can love others. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for the great things he has done and will do in my life and your life. And I want to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy. Thank you, Dr. McCoy, so much. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks, for sharing with us an unthinkable command. When you think about what command that you have been given in your life, that you thought it was unthinkable, you thought that you would have never had to confront or go through a situation that you went through. Well, God tried his servant, and he, Abraham, and he knew that Abraham was going to pass that test. He had that confidence and that faith in him. Abraham had that confidence and that faith in God, that God will bring him out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. And I'll say to you, our radio audience, whatever it may be that you're going through in your life today, or what you went through on yesterday or 2 or 3 years ago, you have to know that God is faithful. God is a deliverer. Just like as he will deliver others, he will also deliver you. It was an unthinkable command in probably in his mind. When you think about when God asks you to sacrifice your child, to sacrifice that not only your child, but your only child, it was to him, maybe to somebody else, a unthinkable. And even within himself, he knew how long that he had to wait for that child, that he had that confidence and he had that faith in God. He had that relationship with God, that anything that God was going to do in his life, because he had already did something that seemed to be impossible when his wife could not bear, when she was barren for that long time, when she went through years and years and years until she got an old woman to bring for this child. But yet God is faithful. Yes, God is righteous. Yes, God is able to do any and everything. At this time, we're getting ready. I feel the excitement in the air. We're getting ready to go to our next topic, and it is withholding nothing. Withhold nothing. It's taken from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, the 6th through the 12th verse. We would like to take this opportunity to welcome Ms. Helen Hooper to the Breakthrough broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and listening audience to our panel. Praise God for this day. This is going to be coming, it's called Withhold Nothing. It's coming from Genesis 22nd chapter 6 through the 12th verse. And it says, and Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, said his father, and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son and lay him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord came upon him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything upon him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And here we're talking about withholding nothing from God. And we're hearing Pastor Shanks talking. She was saying that, you know, Abraham had faith. He was a man of faith. even though this was his only son. And like Dr. McCoy said, he and his wife, Sarah, waited years. They were well into age for this son. God had promised. Isaac was his promise. So without Isaac, how could his seed be as many as the stars in the sky? When God said for him to look up to the heavens and see the stars, and if he could count them, that's how many his seed would be. He couldn't count them. They were uncountable. There were so many that he couldn't count them, the stars in the sky. How would that be if he sacrificed his only son? This is the only heir that he had. Yes, he had Ishmael, but God did not make his covenant with Ishmael. He made his covenant with Isaac. He told Abraham his covenant will be with Isaac. Yes, he would bless Ishmael, but his covenant will be through Isaac, and those how the many nations will come from he and his wife Sarah. So this was his only son that he was going to sacrifice because God told him to go up and sacrifice his son as a burnt offering. And the Bible says, and when Pastor Shanks was reading, that Abraham rose up early in the morning. That means that he did not tarry. That means that he rose up early in the morning to be obedient to what God had told him to do. He did not tarry, but he told his servant, stay here, and me and the lad will go up, and we will return. So he had faith enough to know that he was going to bring his son back. Because he knew God had promised him this, this was his promise, how would he take his promise away? But he did not question God. He went on his way. He did not tarry. He did not stay and ask God, I waited 100 years to have this baby. I had this child when I was 100. You blessed me and my wife. We waited. We tarried to get this child that you gave us, this son that you gave us. And how would his seed multiply as many as the stars if he was going to sacrifice his promise? He knew he was too old to have another child. He and his wife was well into age. But he did not question God about what he had to do. God told him to take Isaac and sacrifice him. And that's what he did. The Bible says he rose up early. So that means that he did not tarry. He didn't get on his knees and say, I'm going to go to God one more time and see if he changes his mind. God is a God of order. He's not a God. He's not going to change. When we don't see things happen our way, that means that we did something that we weren't supposed to do. God does not change. But he did not tarry. He got up. He saddled his donkey. He put everything he needed for a sacrifice, and he took his son. And he went up to where God would happen to go. He strapped him down, but the angel of the Lord came down and stopped him. Why? Because he knew then Abraham trusted him with everything. This is my only hope of even furthering my bloodline. This is my only son. Yes, there's Ishmael, but we all know Ishmael. The covenant was not with Ishmael. He said it was with Isaac. So he knew that God was going to restore. God was going to give him what he needed in this time. He just obeyed God. And when we obey God, God will always give us what we need, even through the test. This was a mighty test. This was a monumental test. This was a paramount test because this was his only child whom he loved dearly. He loved dearly. He was his heir. He was everything that he had. So because he was a man of old age, and he knew this was going to be through his bloodline. It was going to keep going and keep going. But he did not question God. Through every test that we have, through everything that we go through, God is always there. He just wants to know that we are going to trust him. We are going to trust him, take his word, trust him. Some things God tells us to do, it may sound really crazy. It may sound horrifying sometimes, and it may just be out of the box. Most of the time it is out of the box. That's why you know it's God, because it's out of the box. God is not going to tell you to do something just mainstream. God is not that kind of God. He wants to know if you're going to trust him. And if you have a relationship with God like Abraham did, you will trust him to do exactly what he says, because we can only do what he said. We don't know the plan of God. We don't know his mind. We can only do and trust him. That's why we have to have a relationship with God. We have to listen. We have to hear what he's saying. And we can't all the time see what he's doing. We just have to feel our way in the dark, but he's guiding our feet. He's guiding us to where we need to be. And this is what Abraham is doing. He did not tarry. He went right up to do exactly what God told him to do without hesitation. And that's what we need to do as men and women of God. We don't need to hesitate and ask God, Lord, is this you? Lord, is this you? Lord, are you sure? God is always sure. His mind doesn't change. We have to be on one accord with him. We have to hear. God is always in control. He has a master plan. We may think we know what is going on, but we don't know what's going on. We don't know what God is going to have us to do. That's why he said we prophesy. We see in part, we prophesy in part. We don't know what God is going on. We don't know the mind of God. So Abraham is trusting God. He put everything now. He did not withhold anything. And this was the most precious thing. I'm going to believe this is the most precious thing in his life is his son Isaac. But he was going to even sacrifice Isaac because what? God told him to do so. And he trusted him. He had faith enough to know. God promised me, this is my promise. So God has another plan. I know God has a plan because he told the servants, me and the lad, we will return. We will come back. So that tells me that he had faith enough to know that God was going to supply everything that he needed. He told his son, Isaac, God will supply his lamb for a burnt offering. So that tells me he had faith enough to know God knows what he's doing. I trust him, but I'm going to do exactly what he says. This may be the biggest thing I have ever did, the most horrifying thing I've ever done. But which one of us would sacrifice our only child, our only son that God gave us? I don't know if I would do that. I don't know if I would do that. Abraham was obedient to God. He gave everything. He didn't withhold anything. This was his blood. This was his flesh. He loved this young man. He loved his son. But he obeyed God, and he withheld nothing from God. And that's what God wants us to do as his people. He don't want us to withhold anything from him, nothing. Because guess what? He's going to give it back many, 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 many times after that. Meaning he'll give us that. He'll bless us more than what we already had. He's done that for me numerous times in my life. You cannot withhold anything from him. He knows about it anyway, so go ahead and give it to him. When he tells you to do something, do it. It may sound out of the box. Usually it is. But go ahead and do it, because if you know God's voice and he's speaking to you and you know it's him without a shadow of a doubt, we should not withhold anything. We should have faith enough to know that he is going to take care of us through every trial, every tribulation, every test. And like I heard Pastor say, sometimes we have to take these tests over again because we fail them. I find myself sometimes, I've been here before. Yes, I've been here before, but guess what? I didn't pass that test before. So I had to do what God would have me to do to get past that point, to get to another level. And that's what Abraham was doing. But he said his offspring was going to be more than he could number in the stars in the sky. And if you've ever seen a starry sky, there's so many stars in the sky. It's beautiful. You cannot number them. You just get lost in the sky. And how was that to be if he didn't have his son Isaac? So he trusted God to know that God was going to do exactly, exceedingly, more abundantly what he even had in his mind. And he obeyed God. He was obedient, and he withheld nothing, even his son Isaac. Back to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Ms. Hooper. What an awesome relationship that Abraham had with Jesus Christ. With he could trust, he knew that God was in his life. And we just thank God for Ms. Hooper for giving us revelation as we can go through that word and give us that knowledge, give us an understanding of what God was doing. And we can really see ourselves in how when testing time comes. And I believe I heard her say that she's not really sure whether or not I can do that. And many of you can say in your heart, oh, no, I don't think that I will give up my son. I will not give up my daughter. Many people will say that same thing in their mind. But I believe as the Lord gives us more and more of him and asks even the unthinkable in our lives, you know, every day, every round go higher and higher with him. Everything in our life, we strive for the more of him in order to please him. And the way that Abraham pleased the Lord, I mean, just to know the man of God. We just think about him gathering this wood. Just think about him knowing what this was not going to be just to cook anything with. For a meal, this wasn't going to be a regular sacrifice, to know that he was going to have to take this wood and to put this wood upon his son Isaac. And it wasn't enough just to put the wood upon his only son. Think about it. Just think about it. This is the way that God showed us even when we began to think about what God did. When I even think about when it say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Abraham showed us
what God was in his life. He showed us how that he trusted God. He showed us how he related to God. He showed us even when you just think about you teach your kids not to play with fire or not to have just fire unnecessarily in the hand, but he knew that this fire was for a purpose. He knew if he just laid the wood on the on his son, it was not going to be enough. This is not what God told him to do. See, sometimes we just do some of those things that we think that we want God to be pleased with, but we have to do it in completion. We have to do it the way that God tells us to do these things. God told, let him know the sacrifice, and he knew that in order to do this for his to his son, it was more than just laying some wood on him. It was more than just even taking the steps and even get to the place that it that he was in. It was more than that. That we have to know that God is God and that God is God all by himself. We got to know that even the things that he went through, that he went through because he had a true love for God. Can we just really say, can we really just think in our hearts, Lord, do I have this truly, truly love for you? God, help me. Help me to be able to do the withhold nothing from you. Help me to do the unthinkable for you. And it takes God to do this thing inside of us. It takes God to make this this new man, this new woman. It takes God to call us not to walk in the carnality, but walk in the spirit. It only takes God because a many of us would say the same thing that Ms. Hooper said, that I think that I'll be able to do this. But you know what? Every day with God will bring you closer and closer to God. And I just believe that God has no respect of person. And I just believe that God will move within us and he will keep us and give us that perfect peace about what we are asked to do as he gave. I know that he had to give this man of God perfect peace because he stood upon God's word. Just think about it, with the fire and having the knife in his hand. The fire and the knife, could you just even think about burning your child? Could you just think about being asked to take this knife and sacrifice your son, your daughter? Could you just think about that? But I'm telling you that God will provide. God will provide for us in trials and in tribulation and things that we go through. You know, sometimes it seems like it may even look like an overcast. It looks like something that, even like a wall that is hard to penetrate, hard to get through. But yet God is God. It may even seem unsurmountable, but we have to believe and we have to trust God because he is God and he's all God by himself. See, we're not dealing with man here. If we were looking at man, the boy would have been gone probably. But yet we're trust our confidence and our trust and our faith is not in man. See, he didn't put his faith in man. He put his faith and his confidence in the Almighty God. I would just like to go back to Ms. Hooper for a minute, and I'd like to ask her, in what ways can you show that God, that you trusted God in a test? What ways, Ms. Hooper, can you show, can you say that you trusted God in a test? Share with our radio broadcast. We are going to go at this time, and we're going to go and we're going to pose that same question to Pastor Francina Shane.
Yes, Dr. McCoy. I can look back at where I was tried on trusting God and tested when I came off my job and I had no money at all. I didn't have any money in the bank. I was no longer working on that job to depend on that paycheck every 2 weeks, and so I had to trust in the Lord. And he made a way where it seemed to be no way, where my rent was paid. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. God is so good. And then my unemployment was approved. Praise God. They lied on me on the job. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Said I had did something to a child. You see, I had taught pre-K for 12 years, and I taught pre-K for 8 years in Houston. But anyway, to give God the glory, they would not approve my unemployment, praise God. But God moved and gave me favor where when I appealed it before what they call like a tribunal, in other words, my supervisor, they didn't even call. And so God gave me favor. He told me don't worry about it. He kept giving me confirmation through friends of mine in ministry telling me he was going to do it. So I had to stand on the word of God and trust God wholly while he brought me through that. Unemployment was approved. And after that, I had exhausted all of it. And the Lord spoke to me and told me that book of unemployment had dried up, just like he dried up that book. The book was dried up for Elijah. The Lord told me that book was dried up. Hallelujah. And God told me he was going to sustain me, and he did. And so I had to just trust the Lord and wait on him, and I began to speak what his word said to me, that I would be above and not beneath, the head and not the tail. That I could do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so that's how I was tried. That's just one of my testimonies. I got many more. Anyway, I turn it back over to you, Dr. McCoy. So God be the glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Pastor Shanks, for sharing with us in ways that she knew, that in the tests that she had gone through, that she had to trust God. And there are many times in our life that we go through, as even as Christians, because you, when you look at the word, God said, even if we, that he has suffered in the flesh, he tells us to arm ourselves likewise that we're going to suffer. Yes, we are going to go through some things. No, we don't like it 100% of the time. But yet we're going to go through some things. And, you know, even as we go through some things, truly, I have to tell you, it makes us better. It makes us mature. It makes us have more faith. It makes us have more confidence. It makes us be able to stand the test of time. It makes us be able to trust God. It makes us to be able to endure as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Oh, what an awesome word from the Lord. What an awesome teaching and study that God has given. Yes, we'll talk about an unthinkable command. And we talked about withholding nothing. But at this time, we're getting ready to talk about God's provide. Oh, my goodness, that is an awesome topic. God provide. We're getting ready to welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast, Dr. Joyce Bynes. And she's going to take us into that awesome topic coming from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, 13 through the 18th verse. Again, Dr. Joyce Bynes, welcome to the Breakthrough Broadcast.
Thank you, Dr. McCoy, and to all the panelists today, God bless you. To all the listening audience on Breakthrough today, thank God that you are here with us to hear what thus saith the Lord. And reading from Genesis chapter 22, verses 13, starting at verses 13, it said, "Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, 'The Lord will provide,' as it is said to this day, 'In the mouth of the Lord, it shall be provided. Verse 15, then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven. Verse 16, it said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. Verse 18, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Praise God. Thank God for the word today. Making sacrifices was a custom in those days, and Isaac was puzzled because they had no animals to sacrifice. So when he asked his father about it, he only looked sad, and he said that God will provide his own sacrifice. That was the faith that Abraham had in his God. He didn't shun, he didn't look strange, but he just said, in knowing your God, see, those that know their God, God said, you must know me. You will do mighty exploits. So as it was born to Abraham and Sarah as a result of a covenant promise, God requires of Abraham to sacrifice Isaac was a supreme test that demonstrated both Abraham's reverence for God and his confidence in God's faithfulness to keep his covenant promise. He prepared to offer up Isaac with an assurance that God would raise him from death itself. God made a timely intervention and provided a ram to be sacrificed instead of Isaac. And this is a dramatic foreshadow of God offering his only son to die in our place. Like one of the ladies said, that I think it was Dr. McCoy said that, John 3:16 says, you know, that God is there. He's our sacrifice. He came that we might have more life and we could have it more abundantly. He so loved the world that he would give his only son. If God could give his only son, God looks on the heart. Man looks on the outside, but God looks at our hearts. When he speaks to us, he looks on our hearts. So God's covenant love gave Abraham a son, and covenant love provided to substitute sacrifice to save his son. So then we found out as I was going down this scriptures, and I was looking in that verse 13. It says, as Abraham's hands was raised and the voice of the Lord it broke the tent silence, God had required only obedience. That's what he was looking for. He was just, most of the time when God speaks to us and he says something to us, God's looking for how we respond to it. Are you going to obey, or do we have to question everything that God says to us and what he tells us to do? He says, I'm looking for obedience. So he says, the ram stands as a type of Christ who became the substitute for us in the redemption. And in the verse 14, it talks about a vision from God must often first die, and then the Lord resurrect the vision from its ashes. First, that's what God is looking for in us. First, he wants us to die first to ourselves, die to our situation, die to what we want to do, die to how we think it ought to be. But when we die, then things begin to live. But we are so eyesighted, we have to see it first. We have to see how it's going to come out. Give me a picture of what it's going to look like. But that's not how God works. He doesn't give you pictures and vision all the time on how it's really going to be. We just have to step out in faith. And it says, the Lord will provide. And that carries the idea that God makes a provision when he sees the need. That's when God knows See, when we step back, God always step up. And when he see the need is already met. That's why he said that you already have it even before you ask, that I've already given it to you. But it's God looking on the heart, and he's looking at how we it receiving the word of the Lord and how we are having faith and how, like it said, your faith is going to be tested. God tests you in every area of your life. Your faith is being tested every day, all day, 24/7. It's tested in your family. Ways that my faith is always tested. It's tested in my marriage. It's tested on jobs. If you have a job, a lot of times it's so much that the enemy is not in your boss, or your boss is not saved, or the people around you are not the people of God. Sometimes God is even testing your faith through those people. Even in churches, yes, your faith is being tested. In your ministry that you're in your body, faith is being tested. Sometimes things that we do with our bodies and how we treat our bodies and these temples that God has given us, God tests us in the temple. And we don't want to be tested in these areas because we feel as if that, you know what, God, we have the Holy Ghost, it's there, and we're so saved, and we're living by faith and all of this. But God is saying that I'm even testing you on how you take care of this temple that I've given you as a temple of the Holy Ghost. It needs to be housed in a healthy temple, not a temple that's not healthy. God also tests us. Truly, he tests us in our finances. A lot of people are going through financial struggles today, but sometimes you have to look back and look up and know that God, whatever you say, if you could provide even when there's no provision there. So many times, that's what we're going through with in our finance. We're going through our tests. And certainly, another one that tests us through, it doesn't matter how old they get. Just because they're old and they're grown and they go and they move away, or even they're around you when they're older. But yet it's still, even God want to know, do you love me more than you, do you love your children more than you love me? What would you do for me? Sometimes that's a test, even with your kids. So we have to know, what is your test? What are you going through today? What is God saying to you in your life that you need to look up and live and to know that God will provide? He will make a way. Out of no way, God will make a way. He's going to test your faith, knowing that whatever we need, God has it. Whatever we're looking forward to be of the young people, the things that they go through with, so surrounded with so many things, so many opportunities, especially our young people who are not into, saved young people, they're not even children, they're not even the children who know anything about your God, know anything about the Bible. But yet and still, God will provide. He will even provide for them. So as older Christians, we know that when God tests our faith, we must be willing to make any sacrifice. There is no sacrifice that you cannot make to know that God will provide, because if you can pass the test and you can meet the requirements that God has placed on your life today, you can be just like Isaac. You can be like Abraham. You can put on the wood. You can lay it all there on the altar and know that God will take it up and that it will be okay. And in that verse 26, when it talks about there was no other, because he could not swear by no other greater than him. Who is any greater than your God? He swore by himself. The God that we have. God also used this incident to sell the issue for all time, that he does not approve of human sacrifice. So sometimes there's a situation that you can go and get into and people are doing human sacrifices because they are in all kind of cults and they are in all kind of religion. They're just out there. But this was one of the things that when they read this verse, they know that God does not approve of human sacrifice. If he did, he would have went on and allowed that to happen. There would have never been a lamb that came up in the thicket if God would approve of the human sacrifice. And then in that verse 17, he say, I will indeed bless you, make your offspring as numerous as the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the greater, and you will be even greater than the enemy. Your children, it will be from generation to generation. All the generations, kids that you probably won't even live to see, God saying, blessedness here today. And I am a living witness to know that from my parents, when we were coming up and we would have our little family prayer, my parents would always pray that my children would be blessed. Have seen some of those blessings today. We thank God to know that those blessings are alive in our lives today because we took hold on what the family had taught. If you take hold on this word and what God has taught through your foreparents, you too can be blessed. And so the generation that I might not even, grandchildren, I might not never live to see, but that's my prayer for my grandchildren, is that they will be blessed because this covenant promise that God made to Isaac is still good today. Abraham promise still good today. And I know that promise that God will provide. Stop looking to people. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And in that last verse, I just want to say a little about that. He said all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Your offspring, because you have obedience, is all about obedience. And we today are not willing to obey. People are not willing to set their own agendas aside and pick up the word of God, pick up the dinner of truth and righteousness. We want to have it. We want to have it. And until we obey the commandments of the Lord, that's when our nation, this earth, and we all will receive the blessings and the promises of the Lord. And I'm just excited. When Dr. McCoy called me to tell me about this, being able to make any sacrifice, being willing to make a sacrifice, what God requires. I was just excited, and I just want to turn it back over to Dr. McCoy.
Thank you, Dr. Joyce Vine, for sharing with us and giving us insight again on God. Provides, and we must make it personally. Sometimes we look at other people and we see how God has made provision for them, but we need to know that God has no respect of person. The same thing that he did in someone else's life, God will move in your life as well. Different problems, you may say, well, this level of problems, of circumstances in my life, you know, is greater than what I can really withstand. But if we just put our faith and our confidence in God. And you know what? You know, sometimes when things happen, we like to see God move right then and right now. But that is when faith comes into existence. Sometimes we're going to be tested to see whether or not we are going to wait on God. We need to wait on God and be of good courage. We need to wait on God and know that God will fight whatever battle that we're going through. And I want you to know today there are people that are being tested for whatever situation or whatever things that they're going through in their lives, or what they have gone through in last week, or what they've gone through the week before, it even may have been longer. But I know that all we need to do is wait on God. You know, sometimes when we don't wait on God, we get into trouble. When we don't wait on God to give us that inner strength and to know what he wants us to do and to hear him and to just believe him and to be faithful to him, we will get so in trouble and tangled with the works of God. Yes, we'll even get confused. But I want you to know that God is not the God of confusion. I'm so glad that Dr. Bynes brought up, even when she commented this, on the sacrifices. That was when God asked, he knew what he was going to do. He knew that he was going to deliver Isaac. He knew that Abraham was not going to have to go through that sacrifice. See, Isaac even was not even that perfect sacrifice. But God had not kept him, and he sees the level of faith that he has. You know, people today, they read that scripture, and they say, well, Abraham sacrificed his son. And I feel that God wants me to sacrifice my child, my daughter. God is not speaking to you to sacrifice your family members or to sacrifice your loved ones. You need to be able to hear from God. You need to be able to know the voice of God and not a voice of a stranger. There have been people that have taken their family members' lives because they've read into something that God was speaking to his man Abraham. They did things when the enemy came as a trickster, as a deceptive, and have caused lives of people to be taken away. And they didn't do it because God told them to do it, but they did it because it was in the flesh and the enemy, that the enemy came in order to whisper those things into their ears. We know that the enemy come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. I hope and I pray, God, that you have understood the tests that you may go through. I hope that you have gained even more faith in God and confidence in God today to know that God will deliver, that God will bring you out with a strong hand, God will bring you out with a stretched arm, just like he did with the Israelites. It's so many instances in the Word of God that we can find God moving in his righteousness and delivering people. How about when he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? That same God that delivered them, that God is able to deliver us. So that's why it is so important to study to show thyself approved unto God, a worthy of God, need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. The word of God said, we shall know truth. Truth will make us free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. I say again, are we willing to make the sacrifice that God requires of us? It may be our time. It may be spending more time in the Word of God. It may be turning the television off. It may be turning the radio stations that you've been listening to. Whatever it is, God wants us to be more committed to him, because testing time will come. Testing time will come. And if we listen, if we pray, and if we seek the face of God, then we'll know how to get through whatever it is that we have gone through. Many of the panel, all the members of this panel today and others, Dr. Joyce Bynes, Miss Helen Hooper, Miss Monica Bryant, also Pastor Francina Shank, we can say that we have gone through trials and tribulations in our lives, and we knew that we had to be steadfast and unmovable. Yes, some things I heard someone say, sometimes we did not pass these tests. No, we did not. But yet God was faithful that he gave us another opportunity to go through the test again. That we want to be faithful to God, and we want to be able to relate and to stay in God's word, that we'll be able to be quick to answer God as Samuel was. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We need to be able to obey God. Yes, we are so thankful to God. Our topic today was faith-tested. Our subtopic today, again, was an unthinkable command that came from Pastor Francina Shank. Withholding nothing. That came from Miss Helen Hooper. And God provides came from Dr. Joyce Dine. We would like to take this opportunity for you to take in, to listen, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Why don't you just stop where you are? We're getting ready to go before God, to ask God to do things of supernatural in your life. Come on. There are some of you today that you need healing. You need deliverance. Some of you that are not saved, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So that is what those, number one, we're going to pray first for those that are not saved. And if you are not saved and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we want you to just ask the Lord to forgive you for your sin. Today is the day now. Ask the Lord to forgive you for your sins, to come into your heart and to save you. And when you do that, God will do that. He will save you. And you may say, Dr. McCoy, you don't know the lifestyle I'm living. Dr. McCoy, you don't know that I'm a drunkard, I'm a fornicator, a homemonger, I'm a liar, I can't be trusted. You just don't know. I've broken up many families. You don't know, Dr. McCoy, what I've done in my life. But whatever I want you to know today, whatever it is, that whatever you have done, God will willingly forgive you. But why? Because he loves you. Why? Because he wants you to be saved. Why? Because he wants to cast every sin into the sea of forgiveness and remember them no more. So if you are one of those individuals, you are a candidate, and God wants you to be saved. I want you just to repeat after me. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart and save me. Lord, make me that new creature in Christ Jesus. Make me free from the common things of this life. Make me free from the worldly things in my life. God, I want that renewed mind. God, I want that clean heart. I want that right spirit. Lord, forgive me for my sins. Because, Lord, you say that thy confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead. You said, God, that we can be saved. Now, Lord, forgive us, God, even now. Forgive me for my sin. Lord, even now, God, as we'll pray that prayer. But all of those, God, in our radio audience, all around the United States of America, that have prayed that prayer with us. God, maybe they was driving down the vehicle. In the vehicle down the highway. Maybe they have just been listening as they was walking or in a professional building, a building where they work. Lord, I ask thee even now to forgive them for their sins. I ask thee, God, to come into their heart, saturate it, and save them even now. And Lord, I thank you right now for your saving grace in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you right now, Father, in Jesus' name, for the angels in heaven are rejoicing even now for those, Lord God, that have said yes to your will and yes to your way. Now, Lord God, in Jesus' name, even now, reach out into the radio audience. God, those are some personal needs. Lord, those are some people out there that they need you, and they need you right now. And, God, they need you not only for themselves, but they need you, God, in behalf of their family members. God, they need you, God, because they don't know whether or not they are able to make it through the next day. But because they've heard the word today, because they've heard the living word, God, I believe, God, that their heart has been touched. So I ask thee, Lord, in Jesus' name, to touch them right now. I ask thee, Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, open the windows of heaven. I ask thee, God, to pour out blessing. God, that there be not room enough to receive. I ask thee, God, to rebuke the power of their faith. Lord, those that are sick, God, with infirmities in their body, I pray healing right now. I send the word of healing in the name of Jesus. Lord God, no matter what infirmity, no matter what sickness or disease, Lord, there is nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, those that are oppressed and depressed, Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, we send forth, Father God, in the name of Jesus, your spirit, your power, and your anointing, God, to bring deliverance, God, in their lives. Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask this to do it even now, Father. Lord, we ask thee, God, in Jesus' name, to touch them. And God, to cause them to be free through your word. God, do it now. Those that are oppressed and depressed, God, cause healing, God, to be manifest upon their bodies, Lord God. Touch their minds, mentally, God. God, cause them to be made free. God of this, Lord God, in Jesus' name, saying, I command you to leave. I command you to come out in the mighty name of Jesus. I command freedom of the mind and of the soul and of the spirit. And, Father, I give you the honor, God, even now, that every person has been healed under the mighty power of thee. I thank God for every person that's been delivered. And most of all, I thank you, God, for those that you're saved. And, Father, for this, we will glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. And, God, we thank thee. Amen and amen. We would like to invite you to tune in on next Saturday with our special guest. We thank God for the guests that are here with us on Breakthrough Broadcast today. We'd like to give them shout-outs. We thank God for them, for what the revelation and the anointing upon their lives. Well, again, we'd like to thank Pastor Francina Shanks, Miss Helen Hooper, Dr. Joyce Stein, and just in case, we also would like to reach out for Pastor Monica Bryant. To God be the glory for the great, for the mighty things that he has done. Please tell someone to join in with us on every Saturday at 4 o'clock to the Breakthrough Broadcast. Meanwhile, why don't you give God the praise, the glory, and the honor for all that he has done. This has been your host, Dr. Mary Smith McCoy.